Thank you so much for downloading, streaming, and thank you so much for listening here to the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. Welcome in. I am Damian Barling. Your Sacramento Kings get a win tonight in the nation's capital, 113-106, to improve to 7-8 on the season. We will break down this game for you, give you the highs and lows, give you the sound from Kings head coach Luke Walton as well. Welcome all those new to the program. Welcome those who are subscribers and listen after each and every single game. We greatly appreciate it. If you're a regular listener, please make sure you hit the five-star review if you think you're worth it. If we're not worth the five-star review, give us the four, give us the three. Let us know what you want us to improve. You can reach us here at the text line at 916-888-5898. But if you enjoy listening to the show, please leave us that five-star review. It goes a very, very long way. And if you could drop us a line or two about what you think of the show, again, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Curious your thoughts on tonight's Kings game as well. Again, 916-888-5898. The Sacramento Kings get the win, 113-106. As I mentioned, and there was a couple of notes that I took early in the game, or really in the first quarter, the very beginning of the first quarter, looking at this like, okay, the Kings are making it a point to score in the paint early. And it was kind of like, okay, are they going to keep this up? Is this their game plan against the Washington Wizards? And it very much was. They were running a lot. You go back and you watch that first quarter set the tone. This was a consistent game, with the exception of three-point shooting. The Kings had a game plan, and it seemed that they executed it, felt like, to perfection throughout the course of the game. Again, the three-point shot didn't fall in the first half. It certainly did there in the second, but their plan against Washington was to score in the paint. And you go back and you watch that first quarter over again, and you see them set that tone. They're running a ton of cuts to the basket. They're running a bunch of post-up plays. And it was funny because the Wizards were kind of doing the same thing. They were really matched in terms of points in the paint, like through the entire game. They were just neck and neck in that one singular category. They wound up, the Washington Wizards wound up outscoring the Kings in the paint 52-46, but that's because the Kings' three-point shot started to fall. And when they needed a dagger, that dagger came in the form of a three ball. So we'll lay out all of these storylines. You go back to that first quarter. I guess the important note is Bogdan Bogdanović returned to the floor at about the six-minute mark of the first quarter. He seemed to be moving well. I was watching him probably a little too closely. He's like, oh, is he laboring when he backpedals? Is he struggling on his cuts on defense? No, he didn't seem to struggle at all. As a matter of fact, he hit one of the biggest shots of the game. But this game was very close. It was very even. They kind of just went back and forth at it the entire game. The Wizards took a 27-24 lead into the second quarter. The Kings opened up, and the story of the second quarter was just runs. Who was on the run in that particular moment? Kings opened up the second quarter with a 12-2 run. The Wizards, they used a run of their own to pull even at 43. Another run gave them a 52-45 lead. It was a 14-2 run, to be exact. Immediately following that, 12 straight for the Sacramento Kings. We're all tied at the half. A couple of notes there, specifically from the first half. They were 5 of 16 from the line, which I thought was like, okay, Kings getting to the foul line. I absolutely love that. The rebounding and field goal percentages between the Wizards and the Kings was pretty much dead even. And as we noted there just a moment ago, the difference in the first half of the game was the Wizards were hitting the three and the Kings were not. The Wizards had hit seven threes. The Kings had only hit two there at that point. Now, the 7-2, it's an advantage. Certainly the 7 three-pointers, that's not like a breakneck number. It's not like you're looking at it going, oh my gosh, how are the Kings going to come back from that? But remember, you take the conversation in its totality, you take the first half in its totality, and you realize, okay, the Kings have a -5 differential in terms of made threes, and it's a tie ball game. It shows you that they were doing a lot of other things on the floor right. And, you know, this is a phrase that isn't uttered very often this year, but the third quarter belonged to the Kings. They outscored the Wizards in this one, 33-28. The Wizards' three-point shooting, it fell off a little bit here in the third quarter, and the Kings, it started to pick up. And it was one of those games where, and this is where I feel that this team, this Sacramento Kings team, is different. You know, even as recently as last year's team, and certainly you know, you go back and you look at the many different teams, you could see games like this one where Kings have an advantage. They're up the whole game. And really that was essentially the case. There were no big leads in this game. No team was really able to create distance. The biggest lead for the Wizards was 7. Biggest lead for the Kings was 9. So neither team pulled away. And there were moments where, you know, even late in this game where it got within 2, it got within 3, the Kings are up just a few. And I feel like in times past, teams past, this is you could see the Kings fold this game. You could see the pressure mounting a little bit. You could see, you know, those mistakes just kind of snowball into more mistakes, more trouble. And suddenly that 3-point lead that they had is now a 4-point disadvantage. I feel like they've been able to close out games significantly better this year. I feel like they have withstood runs from their opponents significantly better this year. And I know that we're talking about a team that's 7-8 right now, but we're also talking about a team that started 0-5. So I think there's a lot of positives to take away. And just you look at each, you know, game in the microcosm of the season, right? You just take different aspects of each game and go, oh, what did they do in this game that looks differently than what they did in games in the past? I thought their second half defense was really good. I thought their fourth quarter defense was fantastic. There was a play, you know, I might be alone on this. It sure looked like Isaiah Thomas was fouled on that 3-point attempt there at the end of the game. I thought the refs missed it, or not at the end of the game, but I think it was with, you know, under 2 minutes to go. Isaiah Thomas, I thought he was fouled on that 3-point attempt. Refs didn't call it. Bogey came down. He hit his third three of the game, and that was it. You know, as close as the game had been there in the fourth quarter, as much as Washington had battled back, they had tried to get themselves in that game. They could never get over the hump. They got close, but they never got over the hump. But that was the play that kind of was like, all right, that's it. Bogey's third three right there, put an end to it. And that was the big shot. That was the dagger. And again, of note, the threes in the first half, 2. Threes in the second half, 9. That was the difference. That was the difference. That 3-ball started to fall. And the Kings' defensive effort, again, this is a theme of the season. The Kings' defensive effort was there for all 4 quarters. I think they have played extraordinarily well since that 0-5 start on the defensive end. Luke Walton preached patience. I was frustrated. I was frustrated after the Charlotte game. I think a lot of us were frustrated after the Charlotte game. I think some of us saw some positives coming out of the game against Denver. I think we saw, okay, all right, that's okay. We'll carry this over into the Charlotte game and good to go here. And then, of course, they come out and they lay an egg against Charlotte. And that, I feel like in this early part of the season, that was the low point. That game against Charlotte was a game that the Hornets did not play well in that game. I do not believe that they are a better team than the Sacramento Kings. And that was the moment, that was the shift for the Kings as they got that, you know, incredible first win at the Golden 1 Center a couple of nights later. And then, you know, here we are now, 15 games into the season, 10 games later, with a 7-3 record since that 0-5 start again, 7-8 on the season. Here's the, you know, good news, bad news. You play the teams that are on your schedule, right? You don't really, it doesn't really matter. Every team in the NBA, they play every other team in the NBA. There's nothing scientific about this. It's very simple. It's a tried and true formula that's been going on forever. So you don't really look at them and go, well, they beat the Wizards. Big deal. Well, their records aren't that far apart. You know, the Wizards entered this game at 5-8. The Kings entered the game at 6-8. That's not a big difference. But I don't believe that the Wizards are very good. I think Bradley Beal is having a hell of a year because he has to. He has no other choice. He has to carry this team on his shoulders. I think Isaiah Thomas is, it's really nice, one, to see Isaiah Thomas on the floor. It's nice to see Isaiah Thomas playing, you know, big minutes for a team out there. And he's playing, you know, relatively well. I thought the Kings did a good job of denying him. All of the shots that he took, you know, for the most part were contested. I think they frustrated him a little bit. He wasn't able to get free. He was only 6 of 11. I don't think he took nearly as many shots as he wanted to. And same thing with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal had 20 points on 8 of 18 shooting. I think they frustrated Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is the second leading scorer in the NBA. He's behind James Harden. I think the Kings did a fantastic job of shutting Bradley Beal down and denying Isaiah Thomas the opportunity to get going and to get hot. And so you've got this game on your schedule. All right, you're in the nation's capital, and now you've got a team coming up tomorrow. We're going to be right back here immediately following the Kings and the Celtics. Like, you got a team. You're headed to Boston. You just beat them on in maybe the game of the year so far for the Kings. And they've had a couple of great ones so far this year. But that game against Boston, and maybe I'm a little biased because I was there, but that was a hell of a ball game. And I'm confident the Celtics took note in that game. And I'm confident that they've been studying the film and they're ready for another one. They're ready for another crack at the Sacramento Kings. That doesn't mean nothing. Just because they're ready for another crack at them doesn't mean that they're going to be able to beat them. They defended the Boston Celtics as well as anybody has defended them this year. And I think I've seen all but maybe two of their games so far this season. I think the Kings did a fantastic job. They played the Celtics better perhaps than anybody else in the league so far has, and that includes the Philadelphia 76ers at the beginning of the season. Now that the Celtics have got going a little bit, now that the Kings have got going a little bit, I'm really excited to see how this one plays out tomorrow night. So the Kings win the first night of a back-to-back against Washington, 113-106. It's going to be their first crack, or their next crack, I should say, to get at that 500 mark. And imagine the Kings getting to 500 by sweeping the Boston Celtics. Let's hear what Luke Walton has to say after the Kings' latest victory.
Harrison was great, and we needed him. And that's a team that is really tough to defend. And I really think our defense in that second half, the first half was 57 all. Everyone was scoring whenever they wanted. And the challenge to the group at halftime was let's see if we can't continue to score but actually get some stops. Let's try to put our will on this game. And I think our guys did a really nice job in the second half of playing defense.
It really felt that their defense really didn't give you guys any kind of resistance in the paint or at the rim. And I felt like Barnes and Holmes did an excellent job. Was that a key for you guys tonight?
Yeah, we talked about before. We wanted to make sure we want to break the paint. We call it breaking the paint. And that's at that point, whether we kick it out for a shot or go to shoot, we're fine, as long as that's the mentality we have. And that's normally the nights we shoot the best, is when we're being aggressive. So it was a theme for us all the time, but even more so, going into the night's game, trying to get back on track.
You guys struggled again from three in the first half, but I felt like the ability to get to the free throw line really made a difference, and you guys end up shooting 28 on the night.
Yeah, it was, again, something we talk about and we need to continue to get better at. Part of that is tough with De'Aaron going out and Marvin going out. I mean, those are two guys that can get to the rim and get fouled. Harrison's pretty elite at it. But the free throw battle is a big part. And in some close games we've lost, we've got crushed in the free throw battle. And tonight we did a much better job of that. And a lot of that, like you said, goes to Harrison and Rashawn being aggressive and putting that pressure on the rim.
What's the challenge with going to Boston tomorrow night? It's a back-to-back. You got some injured guys. How tough is that for these guys?
It's always a challenge going into that place and playing. And them being one of the best teams in the league makes it more of a challenge. And, we got to see how, Bogey's feeling. Maybe Bogey can't go tomorrow night. We got to adjust again. So, it's not ideal, but it's the challenge and opportunity in front of us, and we got to be ready for it and try to embrace it and see if we can't get another win.
But he was able to get to the free throw line, and that's something he's not always able to do. And he's been struggling with his shots the last couple of games. Just how important was for him to get to the line and start to see the shots fall?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for him to feel and see. Whenever a shooter misses some shots, it's normally as easy as getting to the line and watching one or two free throws go in to get a shooter hot again. And, I think that helped Buddy tonight. And something that as he continues to grow as a player, I think he'll recognize and try to make that part of his game when the shot's not going in. But I thought Buddy, after struggling in the first half to make shots, I thought he came out second half defensively and offensively and played a very, very good half for us.
He'll feel 10 below his average. What was working so well there tonight?
Defensively, he's the thing that makes this team go. And last game in Brooklyn, we messed up by letting, you know, Harris get hot early, and we paid the price. So our team, our team thought process tonight, and Corey Joseph did a great job of kind of setting the tone for us, was everything it takes not to let Bradley get going. And, you know, he has some shots he normally makes, but I do think our guys did a nice job of making him work for everything.
So often Luke Walton goes and does those press conferences, and I feel like he addresses some of the things that we talk about at the very open of the podcast. You just heard him obviously talking about taking away Bradley Beal. That's not really, I think we, you know, all of us coaching from home, we can put that together on our own. If you could take away the second leading scorer in the league, the leading scorer for that team, and really kind of the heartbeat of what the Washington Wizards have been able to be this year without John Wall, then yep, you're going to be pretty successful if you're able to do that. Not always easily executed, but you're going to be successful if you're able to do that. I thought it was interesting. I thought his remarks about Bogdan Bogdanovic were interesting. How healthy is Bogey? I mean, you know, he obviously missed the Brooklyn game. He was insisting, oh, it's not bad. I wanted to finish the game, and you know, all of that. And it was like, it didn't feel like it was a big deal. And then the Brooklyn game comes around. Obviously, he doesn't play. He gets out there. He plays against the Washington Wizards tonight. And you hear Luke Walton say, well, we'll have to see how he feels tomorrow. And I guess that's just the day-to-day monitoring of players in general, specifically one who, you know, who's obviously dealing with something here at this particular moment. And I wouldn't have guessed, again, I was probably watching him a lot closer than I needed to. I wouldn't have guessed Bogdan Bogdanovic was feeling any ill effects from that hamstring injury. I mean, he had 21 points, and I haven't done a good job of stating how much this game was really about Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes was great on both sides of the ball, and it's not often that he is a major difference maker offensively. I'm not saying he's one of those guys who's only plays defense, but I'm talking about a major difference maker offensively. Often we're looking at Buddy in that category. We're looking at Bogdan Bogdanovic in that category. But tonight it was about Harrison Barnes. He had just the most efficient 26 points imaginable. He was 7 of 8 from the field, and I could be wrong, but I think he hit his first 7. He was 3 of 3 from behind the arc, and he was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. Rashawn Holmes, he continues to play well. He was 7 of 9 from the field, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Nice little double-double for him. Nemanja Bjelica, again, you heard Luke Walton at the beginning of that press conference that, you know, we talked about breaking the paint. That's exactly what they did. And even though shots weren't falling for Nemanja Bjelica, he managed to gather up 12 rebounds again. Not a stellar night for him, but he was attempting to contribute while he was out there, while the shot wasn't falling. He was making some careless plays there with the basketball. But as we were talking about Bogey before, you know, switching gears to Harrison Barnes, he played 28 minutes, which, okay, no signs of anything ill there. 7 of 6 from the field, 3 of 9 from three-point range. He had 21 points to go along with 4 assists and 4 rebounds. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow. How Bogey is feeling. We just mentioned Rashawn Holmes and the double-double that he had. Let's check in with him.
To get back, load our defense, and make it tough on them.
Rashawn, you guys put a tremendous amount of pressure on their defense tonight, getting to the free throw line, really attacking the paint. Was that something that you guys started out doing, saying, hey, this is where you're going to focus?
Definitely, just wanted to attack. We're always looking to put pressure on the rim first, you know, and that gives us our three-point opportunities, and everything is at your fingertips. So definitely always want to put pressure on the rim, and we're able to get to the foul line tonight, so it's always a good thing. We were just there for each other. You know, like I said, they have a lot of guys who can score the ball over there. And so we just wanted to come out, you know, guard and be there for each other. And I think we did a pretty good job helping each other out tonight.
Defensively on Bradley Beal, Corey Joseph did a great job. I think a lot of times people don't really realize exactly kind of what he's doing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, man, he's the head of our snake on defense. You know, he goes out there and puts pressure on the ball. ball handlers. He guards the best player of the whole game. And, you know, he just makes it extremely, extremely tough on anybody's guarding. So he definitely kicks our defense off with the pressure. And we need him to do that for us every night. You know, it's can't put into words what he's bringing to this team.
It's Rashawn Holmes right there. Again, the Kings have their next chance to get to 500 when they take on the Boston Celtics tomorrow in Boston. Of course, we will have coverage for you immediately following that game. They've got the 76ers to wrap up the road trip coming up on Thanksgiving Eve. And then they'll return to the Golden One Center to take on Denver and Chicago. Appreciate you, as always, for tuning in here. Tell all your friends that are Kings fans to check out the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by HoopBall and the HoopBall Podcast Network. As soon as you exit out of the program, hit that five-star review. Again, we greatly appreciate it. And we're not going to be gone very long. We'll see you again here early tomorrow evening. I believe we got another 4:30 start there in Boston. So immediately following that game, we'll have a new podcast up for you. So we'll be back. Kings, they get the win tonight, 113-106. They move to 7-8. We'll see you tomorrow night after the Kings and the Celtics.